Dead. There was a great celebration. It also happened last night at Joelle's 40th birthday, which a number of you also attended. So talking about why celebrate today might be a bit of a task, because I could see that many of you knew how to celebrate last night. But I'm glad that we've got a jug of water here, and that means we're in for a long, long day. Someone's been very thoughtful there, haven't they? But I'll just get a glass ready, and if I touch it, I'll be lucky. I don't really want to talk for that long today. I just want to encourage us about celebrating. And the passage of scripture that we have had read to us, the whole passage of Ephesians chapter 5 is in relation to how we should live as Christians. And the opening part of that passage talks about how we shouldn't live, and then goes on to say the things and the practices that we should put in our lives. So before we continue, let us just pray. All phones turned off, Rosalind? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come around your word, and we just look forward to celebrating your word today, to remembering and encouraging ourselves through your word about celebrating you and celebrating all that you have done in our lives and all that you are doing through our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So why celebrate? Why not? Does the Bible tell us to celebrate? It certainly does. Who knows some stories of celebration? Yeah? Good. So there's a few stories that have come forth. There's one particular story that gives me a great interest in reading, because I can relate the church to it and what the church would become if it despised celebration. And some churches over the years, I think, probably have despised celebration, because they would sit there with their stiff collars and they would not utter a word of thanksgiving to God. They would just come into the place religiously, and I'm not talking about here, but there are some places where just stiff-collared and upright people, and they actually give no joy or no expression of thanksgiving to God at all. They will sing their bland hymns, and it's not that the hymns are bland, it's just the way they sing them. And they will be very much going through the motions of religion. But we're not religious here, are we? We're children of the Most High God. And as we heard Bruce say, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb to make us his children. So what is celebrating? Celebrating is publicly acknowledging something that has taken place. And if you look up the dictionary about celebrating, it's interesting to note that it is written as a Christian religious festival. Now, why would that be? What about the Passover? What did Jesus say about the Passover? He said, let's go and celebrate the Passover. Yet when at times we think of the Passover and the what it actually meant, there's a bit of sadness there, isn't there? And that's the same as when we think about what the Lord went through on our behalf. There is certainly a bit of sadness in the suffering that we know he went through. But then there's a celebration because of what that actually means for us, that it sets us free and we can celebrate his life, his death, and his resurrection, because of what it brings to us who believe. Would you like to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6? We're going to be reading the story of David in one of his celebratory modes when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back to a place closer to his house rather than Obed-Edom's house. Reading from verse 12. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has." And why? Because of the Ark of God. So David went down and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull, a fattened calf, and then David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might. So he wasn't just waltzing around, he was getting right into it, wasn't he? And I can tell you, last night there was a few people that were getting right into it at Joel's 40th. As, yeah. Well, I thought Terry and you were doing some pretty slick moves too there, mate. But it was... yeah, just interesting how last night we were amongst a lot of Africans, and boy, do they know how to celebrate. And just the difference in the culture. And here, even with what we're reading, there's a difference in the culture of the day to how we would be celebrating as well. But it says that David danced before the Lord with all his might. So he is putting a lot of energy into it. And while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, I don't know how this is pronounced, Michal? Yep, that'll do. That's David's wife. She was the daughter of Saul. Watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Wow. Despised him in her heart because she saw her husband dancing? Ladies, would you despise your husband if you saw him dancing in the lounge room before the Lord? Pamela. Dressed or naked, Pamela asked. Isn't it said that David danced naked before the Lord? I'll leave it to your imagination, Pamela. So it happens in your household, does it? But anyway, we'll get back to the Word of God, won't we? They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. This is all part of celebration, burnt offerings. He's talking about food that's been prepared and presented. He'd already slashed half a dozen calves on the way, making those sacrifices. And we see now that he's making more offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israel, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. They certainly knew how to celebrate, didn't they? And when you think about us celebrating a birthday, what do we get to take home generally? Piece of cake. Not necessarily a raisin cake, but usually a mud cake or a sponge or something extremely rich like the one that we had last night was. But there's that aspect of the celebration and how it just continues and we take it home with us as we remember what has just transpired in joining together with people in celebrating. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing, there you go, Pamela, in the sight of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would do." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honour." You know, David knew how to celebrate, didn't he? He wasn't going to be worrying about what somebody was looking at him and thinking. And you know, last night, I don't know about you people, but I'm not really a great dancer. And last night I did get up and dance though. I thought, well, I don't care what people think of me. And there was probably more reasons than one why I don't care what people think of me. Because I had on toga clothing. And that was a sight to behold, wasn't it? And so I had this garb on, which was a real honour. It was purchased for us by Joelle and Francois. And when I said to them about wearing green and white, because that was the theme, oh, no, you wear the clothes that we bought you, okay? So it was something that obviously Joelle had planned. And there was something more to it, which I might as well tell you if you remember hearing their words. Joelle said, 5 years ago I lost my mother. 3 weeks ago I lost my father. But God has given me a mother, meaning Roslyn, and myself as a father. So remember Jesus on the cross when he said to the apostle John, or the disciple, he said, yeah, here is your son, here is your mother. And that exchange took place. And it was like, that's the way Joelle had seen what God had done in bringing her to Australia and bringing her to this fellowship, that the pastor and his wife would become like mother and father. Very interesting. And we were honoured to be there in that role. And but it was a great night of celebration. And I'm sure that those that went really enjoyed it. But back to the passage here. And as I was saying, David really knew how to celebrate. But this wife of his, well, what does it say in verse 23? "And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." I want you to think of Michal as the church, or a church, that has no joy, no life in it, no celebration. In fact, despises things because they live in their own little religious cocoon. That they're not going to bear fruit. They're not going to have sons and daughters. And I know that we don't want to be a church like that, do we? We want to be a church that celebrates. And when we look at why we celebrate, well, when Bruce discovered that it was 1910 that the Churches of Christ first started holding meetings as they advertised in the paper at the time, for about 6 months solid, I think it was, that each week there would be fellowship meetings. That is a legacy of that person who began holding those meetings that this church is here today. Not only that, I further found out just a few days ago from Churches of Christ historian Dennis Nutt that there was a pastor in Wagga, so the Wagga church was established well before this church, and he would make the journey down from Wagga to Albury once a month to hold a service. So there's a lot of history that we may not necessarily know about behind this fellowship and why it exists. Now, what else is interesting is that research shows that the average lifespan of a church is 60 years. That's a fellowship will last for 60 years. When we look at us today, we're well and truly past that 60 years, aren't we? And that's because of the legacy of the work that has been achieved over the years, the people who have sown into this fellowship in reaching out to the community in Albury. And yes, if you looked at a graph, it would be up and down, all over the place with the number of people. But each time it got down, somebody would come and God would use them to build it up again, wouldn't he? And you know, I believe that's where we're heading now. We're heading up. We're going up. We're not down at the bottom. We're on the rise. And we've got cause to celebrate, not just because of what's been done in the past, but because what God is doing now and what he's doing in the future. And that in the future is tomorrow and the next day. That in the future is even tonight, that as people would come. Now, I'm sure there'll be a few of you that'll come to tonight's meeting to hear Ted Keating. But that's at 7 o'clock, by the way. But there'll be others who will be drawn to come as well, because their interest will be piqued because somebody has mentioned to them, hey, there's this great Bible teacher coming to the River Community Church for a couple of nights. And then maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, hey, there's this healing evangelist who's coming to teach the word of God on healing, and he's going to pray for the sick. And in fact, the people that are doing the seminar, the workshop, they'll be given opportunity to pray for those who need prayer for healing as well. He's going to release people that would be into ministry, so to speak. So isn't that something to celebrate and get excited about? That there's things that God is doing amongst us that will impact this church tonight, tomorrow, the next day, and so on. Hallelujah, yes. Now, just to fill in a bit of background information on David's celebrating, because I know that some people think, oh, we only need to have an organ or a hymn book. But when you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 15, it just gives a bit of a more deeper coverage of that story of David's when he was dancing before the Lord. And in verse 27, I think it is, this is exciting. I'll tell you why in a minute, because in verse 27 it says, now David was clothed in a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who were carrying the ark, and as were the singers. Well, there were singers. There wasn't just the trumpet, as it said in the previous version. And Kenaniah, who was in charge of the singing of the choirs. There was choirs. Wow. This is starting to build up into a bit more of a celebration than what we can imagine, isn't it? David also wore a fine linen ephod. So all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with what? Shouts. With the sounding of ram's horns, of trumpets, of cymbals. Where's those cymbals? Bang, bang, bang. I'm sure they would have been making a huge racket. And lyres and harps. Boy, did those people know how to celebrate. Did they know how to express joy to the Lord? I think we can learn from God's very stories here, can't we? About celebrating and why we need to celebrate. Would you like to turn with me to Psalm 145? And I'll be winding it up with just a couple of more things from Psalms. And reading the first 7 verses. David just truly celebrated the Lord, didn't he? I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. What a key component that passage is there. One generation will commend your works to the other. We need to be always passing on to our children, our children's children, what God has done amongst us, what he has done before us even, that they will know and understand his goodness. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. You know, everything that we do, we might think having a celebration is just us enjoying what we have achieved, but everything that we do is God's wonderful works through us. And something, that new doxology song, which I think Roz has down as our final song. Praise God through whom all blessings flow. What a great verse that is. And as we continue to read, they, that is, you know, when it's saying they, that is all those who have heard of God's goodness. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. And we've been joyfully singing today. We've been able to reflect on what happened yesterday, the great time that we had in our open day. We've been able to reflect, some of us who attended Joelle's birthday party. And it's all about celebrating. And, you know, one of the things that I noted with Joelle's birthday party, the ladies who were there received a bag. And in that bag was a little white hanky, wasn't there? And that's right. Pamela, do you want to give a demonstration? Pamela's good at this. They were doing a dance. And I asked one of the girls, what's with the hankies and this dance? And it was, they're giving glory to God. And then later on in the night, I got given this wrap thing that you put around you, and it was a traditional toga skirt type thing. Yep, you can show people. And so I got given this little skirt thing, and I wrap it around me, and a Nigerian woman comes over and she's laughing her head off. And I'm thinking, okay, am I meant to be putting this on? And she said, no, you've done very well, but just adjust this around to here and that'll be spot on. And so I asked her why the dress thing, skirt thing, whatever, and she said it's because you are going to dance with the Togo people as a Togo person in honouring God. So they waited for me after, you know, I didn't realise that. I was just talking to this woman about it. I had standing there, and Joelle ended up coming over and getting me, and the people from Togo, amongst all the Africans that were there, did this little dance, which was just going like this. and moving your body like this. And it was just praising God. And it was just so beautiful to know those movements and expressions of worship to our God and to be able to participate in that. And, you know, we can participate in many different ways in our Western culture, don't we? We have the opportunity to do hymns. We have the opportunity to do contemporary music, modern music, and all different themes of music. And we can dance. We can do things like that if we're bold and gutsy enough to get out there and not think that someone's watching us and, oh, what are they going to think of me? But, you know, Psalm 150 also says a lot about worship and praise, doesn't it? And celebrating. And that's what I want to finish with today. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise. Amen. Well, let's celebrate all through, not just this week, but all through our lives of his goodness to us and what he will do amongst us as we reach out in his name. Amen. Thank you, Roslyn. Wednesday, Thursday and Friday night this week. Opportunities to bring people along that they can be prayed for if they need prayer for healing, and bring people along that you know that need to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour.
And